This conference will now be recorded.
Good evening, everyone. I will call the Finance Committee meeting for April 8th to order. And Mr. Elkins, would you do roll call?
Councilman Nelson.
Here.
Councilman Fagerly.
Here.
Councilman Osmus.
Here.
Councilman Plowman.
Here.
Also in attendance are Finance Director Elkins, City Administrator Grommets, Airport Operations Manager Eric Runnigan, Park and Rec Director Rob Baumgarten, Doug Green from Baker Tilly, John Heron, and Andrea Pector from the Municipal Utilities.
All right. If it's all right, I think what I would like to do is move the utilities audit budget up to the first item so that they're good, and then we'll go have Eric talk about the airport issues and go from there. So is anybody object to adjusting the schedule around a little bit? Hearing none, Mr. Heron, why don't you go ahead?
All right, thank you, Councillor Nelson. Appreciate you moving us up on the agenda as well. Andrew and myself, well, actually, let's do an introduction first. I don't believe the council have, as far as I go, Steve or Brian either, have met Andrea. Andrea, do you want to do a short introduction and a little background for the council?
Sure. I've been in this position now since early July. And prior to coming to the utilities, I was with Conway, Duth, and Schmiesing as a governmental auditor over there. And have about 12 years of accounting experience in government prior to that as well. So happy to be here and ready.
We're pleased to have Andrea. She's been a nice addition to our staff there. So things are working well. With that, it's our annual update. Typically, once our budgets are approved, I know we're a little bit later this year than in the past. However, we wanted to wait for our budgets to be amended at the time of adoption last year and the first of the year. I know when Steve and I spoke earlier and said when we want to get there, I had mentioned to Steve that the commission would like to amend our budgets once the end of the year rolls around so that we can take into account the impact that COVID had on our budget. So that has been completed. Our budgets are there. And fortunately, our audit was completed here a couple of weeks ago at the last commission meeting. The commission approved the audit. We had our audit report. So tonight, Andrea will be covering our audit, our O&M budget, as well as our capital budgets. And then we'll wrap up with an update, or not an update, answer questions on our municipal utilities update that we typically give to the council and what we have going on over at the utility. So unless there's questions, I'd like to turn it over to Andrea to go through our finances.
Okay. So all of the documents that I will be discussing should have been in the packet, and we'll start with the combining schedule of revenues and expenses that came out of our audit report. Those should have all come in an email on March 23rd. So if you did not get that, just let us know and we'll get a copy to you. It was a relatively normal year in spite of COVID-19. Compared to the prior year, our operating revenues are down about $728,000 and our operating expenses down about $1,470,000. One special item to note is that with the decommissioning of the district heating system in 2020, this division was closed out at year end. So you can see that loss on the disposal of operations toward the bottom of this schedule in the financial statements. Are there any questions on that schedule?
Andrea, if I may, can you, Mr. Elkins, can you take us to the page that she's on? Are we on page 34 in our documentation? Is that?
I have to open my mic, I guess. And I will get you to page. Page 34 is the page that she was talking to.
Thank you. Go ahead, Andrea. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
The next document would be the budget document. The 2021 budget that is shown here is the amended version that was approved by the commission at the March 8th, 2021 meeting. Amending the budget after the year end allowed us to be able to capture the impact that COVID-19 had on the utility and kind of help us to project what that effect might look like moving forward into this new year. Now, overall, our budgets are steady. When we compare our 2020 budget to that schedule of revenues and expenses from the audit, we can see that our operating revenues were down about $1,293,000 from what was budgeted. This decrease is mainly due to the impact of COVID-19. Our operating expenses were down about $4,192,000 from what was budgeted. This decrease was due to the commission scaling back on some of our O&M costs and also our capital projects that were scheduled due to the unknown impact that COVID-19 would have on the utility. And that's all the notes for the budget, unless there are questions.
Not seeing
the any. Next.
So go ahead, okay. Andrea.
All right. The next document is the statement of cash flows. There's three pages to that. This incorporates the capital projects looking at a 10-year period. And starting with the electric division, we can see that our net cash balance, or what our net cash balance would be after factoring in our anticipated revenues, operating expenses, and other items, along with the capital projects for each given year. And the second part to that is for the water division. And that's laid out in the same manner for the 10-year period. And you'll notice with the water that in 2023, at the top there, we have incorporated bonding for the water treatment plant at this time. And this is factored into the net cash balance at the bottom of the report. The final page is a combination of the statement of cash flows for the utility as a whole. With these projections for the 10-year period, we would be looking at amending the present ordinance for a rate increase in 2024. At this point.
And the present ordinance that's in place has rate increases through 2023. Water side only, last ordinance amended for the electric side has been in 2015. So we've had a nice stretch of time here since the last rate increase on the electric side. However, the water side is a different story because of the magnitude of projects that we got coming up on the water department side. So.
Okay. Mr. Oakens, you wanted to.
Yeah, John, and I don't know if John or Andrea want to answer this question, but if you look at your cash flows on especially the capital side, you show in 2025 that $14 million for the office warehouse. John, you and I have had some discussion about the balance that's there. And do you plan on continuing to add to that balance, or are you going to wait till 2025? Not putting more money aside for the office relocation?
I would anticipate the commission is going to continue to put money aside for it. You know, based on our net cash balances year over year as we go forward.
Would that then change these schedules to show that there's some use of cash to put in the reserves, or is this actual spending of cash that you would have for your capital projects? The schedule.
I'm not quite sure I'm following your question. I believe the answer to that question is yes. The projects that we have, our capital projects that we have on this schedule, the way this is laid out on the electric side, it would be cash. And on the water side, Andrea has incorporated the bond up on the top. So on the water side, we're looking at financing. On electric side, we are looking at being able to cover our capital projects with our cash reserves.
Okay, thank you.
I just have a question. Are you anticipating that there could be any money available for water with some of the, have you put the money that's coming from the government regarding, I'm trying to think of the right term for the money this time around. I can't think of it, but I'm just.
ARP dollars?
American Recovery Plan, yep.
We actually just had that discussion yesterday. Steve Olkins, Aaron Backman, myself, a few other city staff were on the call. And yeah, we're looking at the dollars and what the requests are going to be for the dollars. And if possible, hopefully we can have some of those dollars into that water treatment plant. In fact, I sent an email to Aaron after a follow-up yesterday. And Aaron asked if what the engineering fees for that project would be. And if ARP dollars could cover those. So I sent an email to Aaron because engineering on that project is estimated at $1 million. So yeah, we'll see where it goes. Anything that we can get out of the ARP dollars would help with the impact, financial impact on the community. So
I just know everybody's kind of waiting for what it can be used for, kind of thing too. So I was just curious where you were at with that. So.
According to Aaron yesterday, one of the qualifying criteria is infrastructure, and a water treatment plant would qualify under that. So it's just from what I understand, it's gonna probably be divvied up based upon requests that are received. Was that your understanding, Steve?
Yeah, that will have to come back to the committee for your action to make a recommendation to the full council, at least for the city portion. You know, the county and the townships are getting some, and there is some discussion at that meeting that they would allocate majority of their dollars for the broadband throughout those four townships that they're looking at. But the city portion would still have to come back to the finance committee and the full council to authorize where you would want those dollars to go.
Okay. Are there any other questions? Councilmember Asmus.
Just going off on a little tangent on that vein of discussion, but could we also use those funds then for epitopics?
That's what the discussion was, Councilman Asmus, was that the main line that would feed epitopics for their services, we're looking at tax increment financing so that they would actually pay the cost up front and then be reimbursed as they pay taxes over the length of the tax increment district. There's a segment that would loop that service, and that's the portion that the discussion centered around as far as using the ARP dollars. And that was in, John, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe in the $600,000 to $700,000 range.
Yeah, no, that's correct.
I think just to clarify, I think there's just real questions with how this money should be used for our community. And so, you know, it'll be interesting to me to see how we can benefit the whole community with these dollars too. So I'm curious about that too, so.
Any other questions? Otherwise, I'd like to expand a little bit on financing of our water treatment plant just to give the council and Steve and Brian a little bit of insight on what the commission is thinking here. Okay. As Andrea noted, we have financing figured in 2023. It'd be the end of 2023, depending on when we get the project moving. However, as we're looking at our budget, the commission was working on our amended budget here. They had some discussion about maybe financing some of this year's projects, some of our transmission projects, and retaining our cash, being that interest rates on bonds are so low now that they may take advantage of that and then do inter-fund financing between the electric fund and the water fund later to cover the water treatment plan. So there'll be more discussion coming on that. So I don't want to leave this meeting with the council or finance committee under the impression that it's going to be late 22, 23 before we bond. And then later this summer, we come forward to reach out to Steve and say, Steve, we want to move forward with a bond. That could happen, just depending on the desire of the commission, whether to finance this year's project or wait until the water treatment plant goes.
Mr. Elkins.
That's good to know, John, and it's good that Doug Green is on the meeting too, because we just had a discussion about, and we will be talking about it later in this meeting, about looking at a couple of the waste treatment issues to refinance for interest savings. We also will be looking at the improvement bonds, and depending on when the bids come in, we're looking at sales tax bonds. We have scheduled a preliminary meeting with Moody's to again discuss with them the recent refinancing and paying off of the hospital bonds. So if there is some additional debt out there, that's the time we need to at least disclose that possibility to Moody's and or the bond market, because we will be going into that pretty heavily this year.
Okay. And that's why I try to keep you informed of where we're at. I don't know how soon you would need to know what the desire of the commission would be, but I know they ask us to bring that concept back once we have project costs and bids opened up for transmission projects that we got going on. Now, we're looking at about $15 million total between the two, and we anticipate to have those costs pretty much identified by about July, August, somewhere in there.
Yeah, we will be in the process long before that. Actually, at our next April 22nd meeting, that's going to be pretty lengthy discussion with the City Hall project, the local option sales tax projects, the refinancing of the issues that I mentioned and stuff. So if we're aware of it, we can at least mention that that's a possibility. Sure. Our meeting scheduled with Moody's is near the end of this month. So it's just a tickler that we have to at least disclose.
Yeah. Okay, that's good to know. Andrew, and I'll keep that in mind. I know there's not going to be any movement before the end of the month, but once we pick that discussion up with the commission and we know what their desires are for financing, we will be in touch.
Okay.
Mr. Grammets, do you have any questions, Mr. Heron, or regarding that?
Not at this time. I think, you know, for bonding purposes, this will be a big year for the city of Wilmer, and there's a lot of pieces moving around, and we'll just deal with them as they come up.
Okay, thank you. All right, any other questions, Mr. Heron? Anything else you want to share with us this evening?
Also in your packet, our annual update that we typically give, last year due to COVID, we weren't able to do it in person. So, you know, we touched on it at the finance committee meeting as well when we were there. I don't know if everybody had a chance to look at it. I don't intend on going through it. I just want to make sure that if there are any questions on our projects, if you had a chance to look at it, to give you the opportunity to ask. But two things that I would like to point out in that update that we provided. On the second page of the document, it's called Wilmer Municipal Utilities Update with Wilmer City Council. Second page shows kind of a graph of our LED street lighting and the savings that we have there. Definitely a savings. Right now we have about 400 lights to go, and then we'll have them all changed out throughout town. They'll be all LEDs. And at this point, last year in 2020, our reduction in energy consumption since 2016, when the project started, we are down 29% on our street lighting kilowatts. So definitely worthwhile. Payback and ROI on that project is sitting at about 7.5 years. So beneficial project with a fairly high return, so benefits to the community as a whole, reduced energy costs. And the other that I would like to point out would be on page 3, bottom of page 2, over to page 3, with our energy, creating a cleaner energy future. On that graph, if you had a chance to look at it, you'll see that Wilmer, Our power supply is 98% clean energy, considered clean energy. The commission has purchased the RECs, renewable energy credits are called. It's a federal program that if you purchase the RECs to offset the carbons out of your plant or in your energy supply, you're considered as providing clean energy. The commission, as the first of the year, they elected to buy the RECs to firm up our power for clean energy. So our power in Womer is considered to be all clean energy. So it's noteworthy. It's something that I think as a community that we can be proud of, that our power supply here in town is considered clean energy. So other than that, I wanted to touch at least on those two. So more than happy to answer questions on any of the other projects that we have listed there that you may have questions on or would like more information on.
Council members, any other questions for Mr. Heron? I'm not seeing any right now, but I just want to say thank you for the invite to the council to contact you if we did have any questions on the report that you gave to us. I appreciated that. So looking for one more time. Any other questions for our utilities presentation tonight? So if not, thank you very much to both of you. Nice to meet you, Andrea, and welcome. And look forward thank to you. Working with you guys in the future here. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Nelson, Council, Steve, Brian. Appreciate it. And at the utility level, we appreciate the support we always get from the council and from the community. It just makes things go better when we can work together. So thank you.
Thank you. You guys have a good evening. You're thank welcome you. To stay.
Well, thank you. I'm dropping off.
All right.
Thanks.
Okay. All right, we're going to move on to Mr. Rundingen. If he is Mr. Elkins, we have two items for him.
I will actually take the airport operations fund, and I can do that while Eric's still on the line if he wants to stick around. But that's basically just okay. An explanation to the committee and stuff again that we've been doing at our meetings to go through the funds periodically and just explain a little bit okay. of the different operating funds. So
then let's go back to our action item F. Are you taking that, Mr. Elkins, or is Mr. Rundingen?
I will let Eric explain that. He put together the committee action form. So Eric, if you would do that, that would be great.
Yep, I would be happy to. Thank you, council members and committee members for the time. The first thing I'm gonna do is start with just a quick apology because this should not have taken this long to do. You might remember about a year ago, I was in front of you with some options based on a land that changed with the Wilmer Y project and some leases we have with Justin Boyk. Through this year, this kept getting pushed off the table, and that's my fault. So I apologize for that this took so long. At any rate, what we've come up with was some negotiating with Mr. Boyk and help from Mr. Grammets is a new fee or a proposed fee schedule for the land lease that averages $175 an acre. You'll notice that some of the different tracks are priced at different numbers based on the original bids that Mr. Boyk had. But if you'll recall, there are portions of these parcels that are now either landlocked or very difficult access points based on where the road is. I would note that I did talk to Justin Boyk again this week, and he is comfortable with this through the term of this lease. And then Sean Christensen and myself have done some looking into the potential of changing some of the lines of the parcels, or the tracts, I should say, so that they make a little bit more sense for the next time we do the land bidding. So with that, I would stand for any questions. You can see from the spreadsheet there that this does mean a reduction in the total amount that the city will take in for the land lease. But I really do feel like this is a fair number to both the city and to Mr. Boyk as the leaseholder, based on the fact that what he's farming now is considerably different than what he originally bid on.
Okay, so a question that I would have is the differences that we're looking at. Will we see that reduction we'll see that reduction for the next 3 years, if I'm reading this right, right?
That's correct.
Actually, it's less.
Correct. What we are proposing is that, again, we put the lease collection on hold last year as we were trying to determine what exactly was going to be the access points and things. And so this would be a reduction based on last year and then the next 2 years that would take us to the end of the current land lease program.
Okay. I'm understanding that. I was just curious what it would mean for us in 2021. So, and I don't think I can figure that out from these right now. So, Mr. Grammets.
The annual lease is the same for all 3 years, so it doesn't change. So the 2020 amounts that we're going to charge are same as 21, as same as 22. So for 3 years, it's the same rate. We'll look at it for the 23 year redoing, as Eric mentioned. You know, obviously we'll bid it out again and we'll may draw some lines. But the dollar figures you see are what are being proposed for last year, this year, and next year.
Okay.
Madam Chair, it is about a $45,000 decrease in the revenues if all these parcels are at the old airport site. I don't know if some of the parcels are in the industrial park. And Eric, maybe you can.
These are a decrease. Yeah, these are at the old airport site. None of these proposed ones would be already platted out areas, for example, right near Dooley's. The closest one would have been our tract 3, which already went to zero. That would be right behind the Thomas Tool building on Highway 12, if you're familiar with that. And there just wasn't anything left there that was worth trying to farm in this transfer to MnDOT. So as far as I know, for the it's always hard to say never, unless we had an amazing opportunity to have a huge industrial complex come in and kind of take over the rest of the old airport site, I wouldn't foresee another change in this through the end of this lease. And, you know, that was one of the kind of the reason, or I would say a reason for the delays, was just to determine as MnDOT was working where access points would be and what actually would be able to continue to be in production. You know, one of the sad difficulties is the BNSF land is already out of production, but it's kind of a magical boundary that's not supposed to be crossed. And so that has kind of created some other issues as well. And you may hear about issues with noxious weeds out there too, but we're trying to figure out ways to solve those problems as well.
So we will have to, at a later date, look at the operational budget of the airport, because the three main revenues are the airport aids that we get from the FAA, the land leases, and the fuel sales. And so we'll have to have that discussion at a later date.
And unfortunately, I would say that another issue is fuel sales are down, you know, for the year 2020, down about 40%. Thankfully, we have built into the current FBO contract a bit of escalation for fuel flowage to go up a little bit each year, but it certainly has not gone up enough to make up for the difference. Currently, 2021, we're on pace to equal 2020. We would like to think that when we get into the summer months, that turbine traffic will pick up again, and those numbers will increase. But I agree with Mr. Oakens. We're going to have to look at that budget a little bit because there is potential cuts that may need to be made.
Councilmember Plowman.
Thank you. Just regarding back to the land lease, I assume that that renegotiating this, or because the land changed, that kind of opened, well, it didn't really open the door, but it created an opportunity for, I mean, we had to look at what the land was going to look like and what the rates were going to be. If Mr. Boyk is agreeable to these new terms, then procedurally, is there new documentation that is signed that legally binds him or rebinds him to the agreement through the duration, or is it still left open?
That would be a question for maybe Mr. Oakens or Mr. Scott. I know that Mr. Boyk is agreeable to the terms, would agree to potentially an amendment to the contract. What we felt like was that the cost and difficulties of rebidding at this time, and I did talk to Mr. Boyk. He did have the option based on the considerable difference between what he bid on and what he currently has the opportunity to operate on. He could have just ended the contract and then we would have been forced to rebid it at that time. We felt like the bidding process would have been pretty skewed, because if anybody called me to say, do I have access or when is my access, we just didn't have any idea what that might be. So legally, we felt like this was the best option, and I think we can do an amendment to the lease, and that should cover that the agreement.
I think that would be the proper way, is to have an addendum or an amendment to his present lease that was signed, and we can have Robert Scott work that up and have all the parties sign it.
Thank you. I guess that was the basis of my concern, was just that because there was probably legal grounds for because of the changes, there's legal grounds for Mr. Boyk to not be bound to the contract. I think if he's agreeable now to these rates, then I think it would behoove us to draft new documentation and in essence rebind the contract. I think that would be a good idea.
Mr. Plowman, would you like to make a motion regarding this?
I suppose it can't hurt. Yeah, I would motion that the City Council recommend that we ask Mr. Scott to make an amendment to the current lease, and that we present that amended contract to Mr. Boyk for acceptance.
Okay, what we're being requested to do is approving the adjusted lease pricing with that. So that's what you're doing, with the addition of asking for the legal part to be taken care of, correct?
Correct. Yeah, the motion would be as requested, that we the City Council adopt the resolution approving the adjusted lease pricing for the properties, as well as then having Attorney Scott make an amendment including the adjusted properties that would constitute a contract through the duration.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Thank you, Councilmember Osmus. Is the wording of that okay for you, Mr. Oakens or Mr. Grammets? Are we good with that?
We will be able to word that and wordsmith it, you bet.
Okay, got it. All right.
Yeah, fix my words.
Any further discussion? Okay, roll call.
Councilman Fagerly.
Aye.
Councilman Osmus.
Aye.
Councilman Plowman.
Aye.
Councilman Nelson.
Aye.
Four ayes, that passes.
Thank you, Eric, for being here, and we will send you on your way unless you want to listen to your operations fund information.
Sure. Thank you, and yeah, I can stick around just in case a question does pop up, and then once Mr. Okins is done with that, I will excuse myself. But thank you all, and stop out and see us when the sun is shining.
Sounds good. Mr. Okins, do you want to just quick walk through that operations fund information you were giving us?
Yes, I'll make it real brief. 2021 will be the first year that there will be no debt service payment. When the airport was relocated, we did borrow some money as well as use industrial park money. But the last debt service payment was in the year 2020. So that's why you see the large decrease from $385,000 down to the $200,000 mark as far as anticipated expenditures. We did talk about briefly, we'll have to relook at the revenues now due to the main revenues are aeronautics, aid, the land lease and the fuel sales. So we'll be coming back to you with a options for you to maintain that that funding source. There is some fund balance reserves there that were built up. This basically is subsidized by the general operating fund. So the $86,000 we'll have to evaluate to see if that will cover it. And then we will address this going into the 2022 budget process. Eric, we showed here, and we maybe need to update that, that when we relocated the airport, that operations, airports relocated, that there was 30 and then it went up to 51 in 2018. Is there a base of operations? Have you got a updated number for us on that?
Yeah, we now have 58 based aircraft. And that is based off of our most recent master plan update. That number does fluctuate one or two here and there based on airplanes for sale and new ones coming in. But an interesting thing to note for the council members, back in 2000 or 2001, we had about 20, I believe it was 26 based aircraft, I may be off one or two there. And the forecast was that if we built a new airport, 10 years following the building of the new airport, we would have 50 based aircraft. And I think if you would have said to just about anybody in 2000 or 2001 that that would be the case, they would have shook their head and said, boy, that's pretty optimistic. But here we are, you know, 20 years later, well, 15 since the airport was built. And yeah, we've kind of exceeded those numbers. So pretty amazing the growth that we've seen here in Willmar, not only just in specific based aircraft, but in size of based aircraft. We now have a based jet, a pure jet, multiple turboprop airplanes. And so it really, you know, the airport has changed a bit and it has grown since we have moved out to this site. So kudos to all those people that worked hard, you know, 20 and 30 years ago to make this happen so that we can reap the benefits of it now.
Thank you. I think you've been critical to the success out there too. And so appreciate all your efforts with that too. So any other comments? This was a review of that as we're going through fund balances. This is a review of why the funds are in this balance. So do council members have any other questions regarding the airport operations? Councilmember Plowman, any comments you'd like to make?
Well, yeah, just to echo some of what Mr. Rundingen said. Yeah, I mean, I remember being a little guy running around the old airport, and you know, it seems like a long time ago, but back then it was almost all primarily sport aviation activity that was taking place out at the airport. So the fact that we have the airport facilities that we have now and the dynamic that's changed, there still is sport aviation, and that's great that that continues on and that there is expanded a new interest in aviation. But then also how that how that aviation is used in terms of business. People aren't just flying for fun. They're flying for their businesses, to expand their businesses, and their businesses are bringing money into and circulating money around our community. So it is a vital piece of infrastructure, and just really happy with, you know, thinking back, it's easy to forget, you know, when things are going smoothly, they're not talked about. So I think it's easy for us to forget the days that we were talking about, you know, the FBO and some of the difficulties that we were experiencing during there, and the fact that those aren't items that are coming to us that we're talking about at Public Works and otherwise, and not problems that we're having to fix. I think that's a testament to the people that are currently involved in operations out there. So I'm quite pleased from when I joined the council until now. I'm quite pleased with everything that's gone on, and really looking forward to the future with the master plans that are being discussed, and watching those things happen. And you know, it's the years go by, but as the years go by, things kind of evolve and change. And so I still eagerly anticipate the future. So I'm pleased. Thank you. Audrey, you're still on mute.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Thank you very much. Is there any other questions for Mr. Rundingen? If not, thank you for being here with us tonight.
Thank you.
Thanks, Eric.
Have a good night.
We will go back. Mr. Okuns, do we want to, I don't see Ms. Thompson here, so do we want to quick do the action items for Mr. Bumgard so he can disappear?
Yeah, I would recommend that, Madam Chair.
Okay, so that would be item B, first of all, is that correct?
That is the first item, yep.
Okay.
All right, good evening, Chair, member of the committee. Tonight we're going to be talking about the summer ice agreement with West Central Hockey. The action tonight will be to recommend to the City Council of Wilmer to adopt a resolution to approve the agreement with West Central Hockey for summer ice programming and amend the general budget by $35,000. I've been working with West Central Hockey for the last couple of years about with the summer ice usage and being able to get more and more data with the utilities. I think we've reached a really good agreement with both parties, understanding the facility usage and how it can spike at times like it did last year with the utilities. So we've been able to cover that. It's been good for us to be able to use the arena for the summer ice programming. Probably something a little bit different this year compared to the last couple of years is that they want to do their programming in June and July and not have ice on in August. This agreement will have came to you earlier, but there was a group that was trying to get together enough funds to keep the ice on for August, but they were not able to be successful with that. So part of this agreement is also going to be charging West Central Hockey for the lines that need to go in, the paint, and the staff time that it takes to build the ice up. And they're all in agreement for it. They would like to have this agreement for 3 years, knowing that we will need to have discussions about utilities if the utility rates do go up. But there, I believe that there is enough cushion in this agreement that it, the city is not going to be at risk at all. So with that, I would recommend to have the resolution for the West Central Hockey agreement for summer ice for $35,000 and amend the budget.
Before I ask for the motion, is the information on here correct that the I'm just wondering, the Park and Rec Board hasn't reviewed this yet, so we would actually take action on it before they met. Is that your intention, or is that how
they've been kind of aware of it? And this is coming back in December and January that we've had discussions about summer ice, knowing that it's going to come through, so they're aware of it. It's just that because I got the other items on tonight, we just thought I would be able to bring it here, and I would bring it to the Park and Rec Board at that time on the 21st.
Okay. Councilmember Fagerly, Councilmember Osmus, are you okay with that?
I'm fine with it. The Park Board had passed it last year. It was the same group, and it just didn't happen. So I don't see any issues.
I'm fine.
Okay. All right. Would someone like to make that motion?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to recommend the resolution to approve the agreement with the West Central Hockey for summer ice programming and amend the general fund budget by $35,000. Any other discussion? If not, roll call.
Councilman Osmus.
Aye.
Holman.
Aye.
Councilman Nelson.
Aye.
Councilman Fagerly.
Aye.
4 ayes, 0 nays.
All right, that motion passes. I think you've got, do you have one more? Well, we got more. Okay, the next one. The baseball Swanson Field advertising agreement.
Yep, this one happened last year as well. It's to recommend to the City Council to adopt the resolution to approve the agreement with the Wilmer Baseball Association for advertising rights at Swanson Field Complex. With conversation with the group, they want to be able to do the same thing that they did last year. They understand that the Orange Complex is probably going to be under construction, so they won't be able to put signage up there. They're going to probably extend the signage onto the green field and the blue field with their advertising. And it'll go through the Park and Rec Board again on the 21st, but again, I don't see this was going to be an issue from their standpoint. The one thing that I did learn going to a conference, when you get into agreements like this, if you put a dollar amount onto it, then it gives you it's just a lot cleaner for the city, saying that they're not getting it for free. So we agreed to a dollar for the agreement.
All right. Questions or what are your wishes?
I motion the City Council. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Andrew.
Okay, I'd motion the City Council or recommend the City Council adopt a resolution approving the agreement with Wilmer Baseball Association for advertising rights at the Swanson Baseball Field Complex for the cost of $1.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second to approve the agreement. Is there any further discussion? Not seeing any. Roll call.
Councilman Plowman.
Aye.
Councilman Nelson.
Aye.
Councilman Fagerly.
Aye.
Councilman Osmus.
Aye.
That motion passes.
All right, that motion passes, and we will move on to item D, city facility use policy and procedure. Mr. Bumgarner.
Yep, tonight's to talk about the facilities, policies, and procedures that came up quite a while ago. Really with the event that happened at the community center and about being charged. And right now the city of Wilmer does not really have a facility use policy or procedure. So staff went out and looked for this to give back to the council for the recommendation from the Park and Rec Board. So tonight the action will be is to recommend the City Council of Wilmer to adopt a resolution approving the facility use policies and procedures. So this has gone through the Park and Rec Board several times. There's been a lot of discussion about it. They understand too that it's not an easy policy because we're starting to say, all right, who gets charged and who doesn't get charged to use our city facilities. I believe between the board and the staff, we went through the policies of other towns and really found out a good procedures and policies that would be good for the city of Wilmer. You know, the bulk of it is going to be in what your classification becomes, if you're class A or your class B or class C, if you're going to get charged a facility or staffing cost. So it's something that the city of Wilmer needs to be able to fall back on. Staff needs to fall back on it. If there are groups that are concerned about the facility use policy, there is a process that they can go through to get to appeal the fees, and they can go through that. They go through the Park and Rec Board, then we come to finance, and then it comes to the council as the ultimate decision makers on policy. And so if there's a group that feels like they should get their facility for free, they can go through the process and then the council can make that decision, not so much on staff to make those decisions. We would follow the policy and then they can go through the procedures through there.
Okay, so what are your wishes?
I'll make a motion to adopt the facility policy.
Great. Is there a second? All right, we have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? All right, I am not seeing any. Roll call.
Councilman Nelson?
Aye.
Councilman Fagerly?
Aye.
Councilman Osmus?
Aye.
Councilman Plowman?
Aye.
Four ayes.
All right, that motion carries. So, Mr. Bumgar, are you through for tonight?
I am. I'm a little nervous because my oldest son just got his driver's license today, so we'll see how that goes tonight.
We'll be nervous for it with you, so take care. All right, thank you. Okay, one more action item. We're moving on to the first quarter donations. Mr. Elkins.
Madam Chair, can we go back to item A on the municipal court?
I'm sorry. Yes. Yep.
I'm handling that for Ms. Thompson.
Okay.
The city has in the past not waived the statutory tort limits, as it was described in the committee action form. The tort limits are $500,000 per claimant, 1.5 million per occurrence. That is what the city has had for liability insurance to the league for the past many years. As it was explained, that if the council really has three choices, the first one is to not waive the statutory tort limits, and those limits would be as I described them. You can waive the statutory tort limits, and then the maximum amount that anyone that may have been hurt and the city was negligent would be $2 million per occurrence. That would be no matter how many individuals or claimants were involved. And then if the city waives the tort limit and purchases excess liability coverage, it would increase the cost to the city by about 3.5%. And I have text City Clerk Thompson, and I don't know what the exact premium is or what that extra cost is, but we will have that to the council as part of the action. So her recommendation was to have the council pass a resolution adopting the municipal tort limits at $500,000 per claimant and 1.5 million per occurrence, so you would not waive those limits.
And that's what we've done other years, correct?
Yes, okay. For the past, and many communities do that based on recommendations from the league. Brian can maybe speak to that if he has experienced that as well.
Yeah, this is normal. This is normal action.
All right, thank you. Looking for a motion.
I'll make a motion not to waive the tort liability limit.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to recommend to the council to approve a resolution adopting the tort limits at $500,000 per claimant and $1,500,000 per occurrence. Any further discussion? Roll call.
Councilman Fagerly.
Aye.
Councilman Osmus.
Aye.
Councilman Plowman.
Aye.
Councilman Nelson.
Aye.
Four ayes.
That motion carries. Thank you. Now we will go to our last action item, which is the first quarter donations.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, quarterly, as required by state statute, we bring to the council a list of all donations received by the city. You see there that there was $200 from Waltz for Wilmer Community Center Pen Pal program, which you just took action at your last meeting. $250 from West Central Tribune for the same program. $1,000 for the Wilmer Firefighters Association for Wilmer Fire Explorers Program, $100 from Lisa Leibel for the Police Explorers Program, and $500 from Iron Warriors MC for the Wilmer Fire Explorers Program. And we would recommend that you pass a resolution accepting those. Letters of thank you have been sent from the administrator's office. And so this is just a formal action required by statute.
All right, looking for a motion.
So moved.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second to pass the resolution for the first quarter donations. Not seeing any discussion, any questions? Roll call.
Councilman Osmus.
Aye.
Councilman Plowman.
Aye.
Councilman Nelson.
Aye.
Councilman Fagerly.
Aye.
Four ayes, zero nays.
All right, we will go back down to discussion items. And Mr. Oakens, do you want to deal with the ones that Mr. Green is here listening for?
Yes, Madam Chair. We briefly touched on this at the beginning of the meeting when we were talking with the municipal utilities who may be accelerating their financing for, they're switching it for the electrical and not their water. But included in your packet was a preliminary calendar that Mr. Green and I have been working on for a couple different issues, and we'll handle C and D together. This calendar would handle both the general obligation improvement bonds for the 2021 street program once we have the final numbers and get that information from Public Works. It also would look at our waste treatment bond financing, and that schedule was included in your packet as well. There's two issues that are favorable to refinance due to the decline in interest rates. So we would be looking at bringing more information to you to look at the 2008 C GO bond and the 2009 GO PFA loan. The first one that I mentioned has a step up in the payments in 2026, but this is primarily for a more favorable interest rates and cost savings in the range of $400,000 to $500,000, if I remember correctly. And Doug, you can correct me if I'm wrong. The third one that we're looking at, but will not make any recommendations at this point, is the 2008 D WIF loan, which balloons in 2030, but that one is at 0%. And so we would not be doing anything with that until probably 2029. But this is the preliminary calendar. You'll see from the calendar that we will be doing the majority of the work and setting hearings and that in May for finalizing the bond structure in the first part of June. So this is just an information to give you a heads up that we are working on that. We are at the same time evaluating any other bonds that we have, and none of those at this point look like they would be a cost savings, but we analyze all the debt that we have when we do this. I mentioned earlier that depending on timing on the bids for the local option sales tax and the action by the council, we could possibly include those. We'll also be having discussion at our next finance meeting in regards to City Hall and the local option sales tax. So we are talking of all of the debt. As Brian mentioned earlier, we kind of take them as we go, but as we are rescheduling a meeting with Moody's due to the refinancing of the hospital, we do talk about any kind of future plans that would be pending. So again, this is for information, just to give you a heads up on the timelines that we'll be bringing stuff back to you as a committee. And with that, Doug, if you've got anything to add to that, please do.
No, Steve, that's it. Good evening. I've just been working away in the background. Like Steve mentioned, there's a good refunding opportunity. Like I said, about $450,000 annually for the sewer fund. I suspect the savings will still be there, you know, when we get to it later this summer. But it's going to be a busy year between this, the sales tax and the city hall. A lot of things going on.
All right. Mr. Grammett, any comments or comments you'd like to make?
The only comment I'd make is, you know, we need to take advantage of opportunities as they present themselves. And due to the current interest rates, we have some opportunities and would encourage the city to continue monitoring its existing debt. And if we can refinance and take advantage, save money, whether it's in utility rates or in property taxes, everyone benefits.
All right, thank you. All right, any other questions for Mr. Green or Mr. Oakens regarding the bond information? Not seeing any. All right, thank you so much for being with us tonight too. You're a regular.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, have a good evening. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Mr. Oakens, what are we moving on to next?
If we could go to the League of Minnesota Cities memo in regards to the truth and taxation. I do serve on the Revenue Source Committee for Fiscal Futures, I guess they've renamed it to Fiscal Futures Committee for the League of Minnesota Cities. We received a notification that the legislature is looking at some changes, primarily in the truth and taxation procedures. Two major changes is that they are requiring, before the preliminary levy is certified, a hearing notice for the public. They are requiring three things to be on that notice. The percent change from each jurisdiction, it's similar to what you receive in November, but this is moving it up in the process to the beginning of September, prior to the September 3rd requirement of certifying the preliminary levy. They also are looking at this notice to have more information as far as summary budget information that is required to be filed with the state auditor after the budgets are adopted. They're requiring that to be included in the notice to the public. And then they also are, the notice has to have instructions on how the public can access this information on the internet. The other major change that is being talked about in the legislature is that there would be one common meeting, truth and taxation hearing, where the county, the city, and the school district would all hold meetings on the same night, which would be the first Wednesday following the first Monday in December, which this year would be December 8th. I did calculate that. It'd be December 8th. And they would have, the county would hold their meeting starting at 6 o'clock. The city would hold their meeting at 7 with the school district following at 8 o'clock. So those are things that are being talked about at the legislature as far as changes, possible changes in budgeting and the truth and taxation. I just wanted to bring that to you for information.
A couple of questions while I was thinking about this. So would this, if this were to pass, would it go into effect this year?
That is the discussion, is to implement it for this process, which would be able to be done because of the first that would have to be required would be in September. Brian.
Mr. Grammett.
Yeah, generally any law adopted by the state legislature goes into effect August 1st unless specified individual by bill. And this would be one of those that they would just say, quite honestly, goes into effect upon adoption. probably give everybody a chance to, you know, to get ready and prepare everything.
That was the main reason why the league sent this out right away, to try to get somebody to help testify and to have some discussion about implementation date.
It would, the second question that I was thinking about is, it would certainly change how we would need to do our budgeting process from the standpoint of, you know, we've done a preliminary levy kind of thing before we've actually reviewed the budget. So that's, I think, a question with how we would do that to justify the information. So Councilmember
Asmus. Oh, I'm sorry. Nope. Councilman Asmus.
I was just wondering if you liked it, Steve, because it makes sense to me for the public to have them all at the same time. But now I'm thinking about Audrey's comment about the budget process.
Well, the meeting of all three, holding them on the same evening, I think is a good, I would agree with you 100% on that. It does move up in the process in order to have those, that information that they're requiring on the notices, so that the council will have to have a pretty good idea on where the budget that they're proposing, instead of after the mayor presents it according to our charter in September, that would have to be all done prior to that, so that those numbers could be calculated and put on the notice, which we would have to provide to the county, because the county at this point is responsible for sending out all those notices.
It maybe also provides clarity to the, you know, how much is the city's budget or city's portion of the taxes versus the school versus the county when you look at the total of the taxes too. So,
well, and that's one of the things that we'll be talking about at our next meeting too, when we talk about City Hall and the tax rates and, you know, how the overlapping taxing jurisdictions, it's all cumulative, but yet there are portions that is just the city. And so that somebody in the city normally thinks that when they're paying their property taxes, it all comes to the city. And we try to educate them every year. Brian's been through this many, many years, and it's sometimes hard to explain to them that there are the county, the city, and the school district all in their property taxes.
I think it's also interesting about requiring it to be online and that information. That's, I'm hearing that more and more about, you know, that for cities to have more information online available, kind of thing too. So that's interesting. So any other questions or comments regarding this?
No.
All right. Okay. We're moving on to the debt article.
Yeah, Madam Chair, members of the committee, I just included this again for information. It is kind of pertinent to the discussion that we'll be having at our next meeting on the 22nd, when we talk about City Hall and property taxes and reserves and debt and the payment of that and the property taxes. I don't have much to say about it. There is some information. We have a legal debt margin, which is required of 3% of our estimated market value. That's the maximum any city can have that they can levy for with property taxes. We only have one bond issue that applies to that, and that is for the R22 ICE renovation at the Civic Center. So the net amount that we could add to that legally by the debt margin would roughly be $35 million additional. Our total is $37.5 million, and we have $2.5 million that is outstanding on those ICE bonds. So all the other debt that we have, and we do have a lot, at the beginning of the year, we had $110.7 million in debt. With the recent action, we are getting rid of about $34 million of that for the hospital. $60 million of that we're relooking at doing for the waste treatment that we just talked about. And so those are revenue supported. It leaves about $15 million that are supported partially by special assessments. To this point, from the Community Investment Fund, but again, we're looking at possibly property taxes to further our street program. And I did not include, since we bonded this year for the local option sales tax, that amount in there as well. So that would be revenue supported. So I just wanted to put that in there. I thought it was an appropriate article for timing wise when we're looking and analyzing all our debt with Mr. Green, and we'll be looking at possibly issuing more debt here this year for a number of the projects.
Mr. Oakens, would you just comment where this article came from? I see the name of the.
Yeah, it came from the Government Finance Review. Government finance officers receive a monthly magazine, and so I removed it from that monthly magazine of government finance officers.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Oakens on this article? I am not seeing anything. Our last discussion item, department update report. Mr. Oakens, anything you wish to share with us?
We're preparing for a big meeting on the 22nd. I guess I would like to have some direction. I believe we've talked about having it a full council meeting to discuss City Hall, pre-audit of 2020, reserves, debt, and concentrating on that at this point. We've been doing a lot of research on the sales tax, on tax rates for similar sized communities. We have a lot of information to provide. If there's more information or other information that you as council members want, please let us know so we can have time to compile that and provide it. I have talked to the city of Worthington. I mentioned that prior to the meeting, and they are a community that went for a local option sales tax in the same session that we did. Their numbers are $25 million for 15 years. I talked to them today, and their numbers are coming in lower than what might be able to service that debt as well. And their projects are very similar to ours. There's ice rinks, there's, I don't have it right here with me, but they're very similar projects. I've compiled local option sales taxes throughout the state, the communities that were there when we were there. So a lot of information that we can get sent out to the council and evaluate. When we're comparing to other communities, half of those regional centers have a local option sales tax in their chest to pay for improvements. A lot of them are using them for streets. Some of them are using them for recreational activities similar to us. So if there is more information or specific information, please let us know so that we have time to compile it and provide it.
Mr. Grammets, are you okay? I'm just trying to think. I really would like, if we're going to present the detail of information that I expect we are, that we get that out to the council for review prior to the meeting. But is are we okay with the time frame, that time frame, and the finance committee meeting time frame for the full council?
I would think so. Yeah.
Okay. It might be helpful if we could get something out so that council members are aware that we're planning to do this. I know it's been brought up, but I just want to make sure that everyone is aware that the full council will be invited and that they have the opportunity to be here with that. So is that okay?
I think staff can handle that.
I think you can too. So council members, any other requests or thoughts with that? If you don't, I mean, we can do it now, or you can let Mr. Grammets or Mr. Oakens know if there's something specific, but I'm hoping that we will have a summary format that can be sent out ahead of time for us to review. So Councilmember Osmus.
I know I'm a broken record, but I would be interested to know if there's any other communities that are looking at approaching the legislature to extend their local option sales tax.
Mr. Grammets, I don't know, we talked about this once before. Am I correct in assuming that we do not have support from our legislators to do that at this time?
Well, I think the legislators wanted to have a discussion directly with the city council about, you know, what our direction is. And as soon as we can determine that, we probably could have that meeting. I'm not aware of any cities in particular that are actually pursuing it. That doesn't mean there isn't a community out there doing that. I just am not aware of it. And at this point in time, you know, it's not like if you don't do it this session, you can never do it again. We can come back next session and say, now we have a better understanding of where we are and what our shortfall is. So it's not immediate need. And I think that was one of the concerns that our legislators had, was you're only a year into it. And, you know, what's the problem here? You know, if you're going to extend it from 13 to 18, technically you could do that, you know, a year, 2 years from now with a better understanding of the revenue stream and your expenses. My answer to that was, yeah, but we would like to build our projects now rather than 4 years from now. And that's a discussion I think the city council needs to have, and then give staff direction on pursuing conversations with our legislators.
Okay, all right. It might be helpful too. I don't know what's going on right now at the legislature regarding changes that they're making to local option sales tax. I've heard of some kind of interesting kinds of comments, but I think that might be the other thing to wait out, that we, having been there last year, and you know, maybe there's a right time. I'm not sure that it's right now, but I wouldn't want us to rock the boat either in one way. So anything else? Any other comments? Questions? Okay. Future agenda items are listed there. Please feel free to ask questions and make sure that we get the detail that we need for us to make our decisions. So, Councilmember Fagerly, anything?
I'm good.
You're good? All right. Councilmember Rasmus? Councilmember Plowman?
I think we nailed it tonight.
Well, all right. It's getting dark out though, Andrew. So sorry about that.
I can still see a little light. I'm going to go trim some tree branches.
All right. Administrator Grammets, anything else? All right. Mr. Oakens, anything else?
Nope.
All right. Looking for a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
All right. We have a motion and a second. We are adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye. Good night. Have a good night.